A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Thank you so much for joining us on the Holderness Family Podcast. Okay, so we've never done this before, but we had such a meaningful experience with today's guest that you're going to get some of him now, and then you're going to get some of them next week.
And it's not like leftovers. It's like new stuff.
No, new stuff.
Like part one and part two. So today's part one of our conversation with Ian Morgenkron. First, a reminder to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review. Leaving a review helps other people find us, and then we can read them. We got a recent review from Alb49.
Exclamation point.
I know. He really wants us to...
Alb49! That's how I'm reading that.
It's in all caps. Yeah. And there's an exclamation point. Do you want to read it there?
Sure. Always loved your videos, so I listened to your audiobook and now a podcast? Yes, please. You are vulnerable and share so much of your relatable personal experiences. You have great insights that make me evaluate my own thoughts and actions. I can absolutely say you two have helped me be a better person for myself and others. Thanks from the heart. Well, that's really just very sweet. Alb49! Thank you so much. Listen, that's what we're trying to do, and we try to bring in people who can help us do it as well, and boy oh boy do we have that. I'm sorry, I know I keep teasing, we got other stuff.
Yeah, so a quick reminder that we still have our regular Tuesday podcast. You're hearing this as it's released on a Tuesday. We do have bonus shows on our podcast Thursdays/Fridays. We don't know the rhythm yet, where we are recapping our adventure on The Amazing Race. And yes, we are on season 33 of The Amazing Race. We have already recapped episodes 1 and 2. You can find those by just going back. Hopefully, if you're not viewers of the show, you can follow along. We're trying to make them listenable for all types. But if you're watching the show along with us to see our journey,
it's a nice add-on.
Yeah. And I hope, and no spoilers. There are no spoilers.
Well, we can't do spoilers.
We'll get sued. Yeah. You're going to hear today's podcast and you're going to be like, wow, how did Kim go on such an anxiety provoking show? We have a lot of notes of people who are like, I can't watch this. I have to wait to watch your recap first to know what happened to then go back and watch it, because that's honestly how I have to watch a lot of shows. So anyway,
but you're also going to ask yourself after this podcast how I was able to like shut up and leave Kim alone when she's having issues.
We were feeling a lot. So in this podcast, I will say we felt a lot of things. We got to talk pretty openly about some stuff we haven't talked about before. So, and I think it's just because of our guest's natural.
He's good. I mean, he's very open about what's happened in his life, particularly in the new book that he wrote. And his name is Ian Morgenkron. He's an Enneagram expert. That's probably the shortest way to explain it. But there's so much more depth to it. And Kim and I have taken the Enneagram journey. We've talked to multiple people about it and what it means. It is kind of this giant, fluid, moving, breathing thing.
It's an ancient personality typing system that identifies 9 types of people and how they relate to one another in the world. It's a powerful tool for understanding why we behave the way we do and how our personalities are powerfully influenced by our motivations.
Yeah, Ian Morgenkron has written a new book called The Story of You. It's a practical guide to rethinking your story and using Enneagram to change it. He hopes to free your mind from the self-defeating messages that you learned in childhood. And it's all about stories. So he got to the bottom of both of our stories. And we're recording this after the interview was done. this was an emotional roller coaster for both of us and really, really eye opening. So I hope you can make it all the way through.
And we do. It does start a little bit. It gets a little selfish when we talk about ourselves, but we do go through each type of Enneagram. And I think what that's valuable because, yes, I identify as an Enneagram 1. Penn is a 7. But it's important to know the people in our lives and where their strengths, weaknesses, motivations, and stories come from.
So here we go with part one of our interview with Ian Morgan Cron. Welcome to our podcast, Ian Morgan Cron.
Hello.
You got an Oprah intro.
Wildernesses.
How are you, man? We had so much fun being on your podcast. It was a blast. It was very revealing, and we have since taken some time to get to know the Enneagram universe a little bit more, and so that's why we wanted to have a chance to like revisit with you.
Hooray, man. I've been looking forward to this.
I have to say, and I've told this and I've quoted it several times, when I found out I was an Enneagram 1, which previously had been branded by Everett. And is
the perfectionist.
The perfectionist. I was like, no, I'm not.
Which is exactly what a perfectionist would do.
I am not a perfectionist.
And so this happened all on Ian's turf. We were on his podcast and we all had a good laugh about it. And so he's got this new book out. And in the new book, he has actually rebranded Type 1 Enneagram from perfectionist to, which I think is perfect, the improver. What led you to do that?
It was because people like Kim hated the name perfectionist.
Because I'm not perfect. Look, I haven't even showered today. So how could that be perfect? Yes, but the improver, I love.
Okay, you look perfectly unshowered though.
Yeah, she does. And that's the whole thing. She knows
she
looks
good.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a hat. Okay, so we're going to really make an effort to not make this all about us and a personal counseling.
Oh, I want to make it all about us.
Because I want this to be impactful and talk about your new book and how it pertains to everybody.
Yep. The book is called The Story of You. I'm sorry I didn't say it earlier, but it's what I'm really excited about is how it goes from just talking about types to talking about origin stories. And as a fan of like comic books and Marvel, I love hearing about how the origin story really like puts you in a certain mold that you have to either accept or try to get out of.
So are we born into our Enneagram type, or does your childhood that shape it? So nature versus nurture. Talk to us, Goose.
Well, I mean, the answer is yes. in as much as we know, you know, certainly we are born with a temperament, a disposition. You know, I think about my own children. I had one that came into the world. She's an Enneagram 8, the Challenger. I mean, she just came into the world kind of angry. I mean, like, just aggressive. Angry is not the word, aggressive, right? I have another child who's a 9, the Peacemaker, and she came into the world like the Dalai Lama. I mean, she just lay in your arms, just so quiet and serene. And then I have a 7, Penn,
oh, yeah.
the enthusiast. And you know how people say that in the first 4 weeks, if you see a baby smile, it's probably gas.
Yeah.
Right. You know that?
Yeah.
It's like, not with this kid. He just came in laughing, just laughing. So there's a temperament, there's a disposition, but there's also all of these forces, family, culture, friends, could be experiences that we have for good or for, you know, for ill. All these things, you know, come together to make a personality, right? But we don't know percentages, like how much of is it nature, how much is it nurture? Maybe it's different for everybody. I don't know. But let's face it, I mean, the human personality, when you get down to it, is also kind of mysterious.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So the book starts with your origin story, and it starts in what sounded like AA or some sort of derivative of a substance abuse place where mm-hmm. you started a relationship with someone who got you to come out and tell your story. How did that shape your Enneagram type? And tell our audience a little bit about all that.
Yeah. Well, many decades ago, I had an alcohol and prescription drug issue in my life, addiction. I ended up in a 12-step recovery program for people seeking to, come into recovery. And I had this 70-year-old sponsor, and he was an analyst, a Jungian analyst, and an Episcopal priest, a deeply spiritual and educated guy, very kind. One night he asked me to give my story at what's called a speaker meeting. And there was like 200 people there. I'm in my 20s. I've only been sober for 3 months. I'm terrified. And I get up and I talk about my childhood, how I, how that kind of shaped my addiction journey, and then how I ended up in this program and what my life has been like since, right? And at the end of it, he asked me just the most amazing question. After hearing me tell this story that was pretty dramatic and sad and full of, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, in an alcoholic family. And he looked at me and he said, "Ian, do you ever wonder if you're living in the wrong story?"
Wow.
And I was like, "What?" And I have carried that question with me my whole life. And then when I learned the Enneagram, it really blossomed. The whole idea of living in broken stories that we tell ourselves about who we are, about our value, about our worth, about our place in the world, and just how powerful those are, and how we get stuck in old childhood stories, and how we can rewrite new, generative, life-giving adult stories.
I'm fascinated by this because can you really, as a perfectionist, I'm coming at you with this question, rewrite your story? Because I would love to. I would really love to. But it feels, I feel stuck pretty often with that.
So we can't change the facts, right? The facts of what happened to us, what we experienced in the past, we can't change those. But we can change our relationship to those facts. We can change how we interpret those facts in this day. So if I had to write a memoir about my early childhood up until, let's say, age 15, I would have titled it Lost Boy, because I was lost. I was raising myself. I always tell people I had a feral childhood. It was kind of like, running with wolves. But as I got older, I would give my name now, the name of my memoir or my own personal story, Redeemed Man. Okay. Because I've come to understand that all of those experiences, as bad as they were, as difficult as they were, have crafted me into the man that I am today. And that's a caring, empathic, compassionate, funny, imaginative writer who has dedicated his life to helping other people make sense of what they went through as kids. And so my relationship to that old story, it's the old story's gone. I'm in a whole new story now as a result of really going through the work that I describe in my new book, The Story of You.
So here's what's fascinating about all of this. We should probably go back and maybe do like quick snapshots of these nine types. First of all, it is interesting that so many people, including Ian, have been able to take 10 billion people and put them in nine buckets. I always think that's fascinating. And that is why sometimes you're little parts of different types. But really, for a long time, this has been about these nine Enneagram types and the snapshots. There's a perfectionist, a helper, a performer, a romantic, an investigator, a loyalist, an enthusiast, a challenger, and a peacemaker. What makes this book different is there's a little bit that we ran into about 20 pages in that instead of giving those snapshots, it gives you this list of, I don't know what to call it, but you can maybe help me out here. I don't know if it's limitations or just like contributing factors to how you got this way. And it was very, very eye-opening when I read that, because it's like, oh, that does sound like me.
Yeah. So in the story of you, I describe how all of us invent self-defeating stories in childhood that cause us serious problems in adulthood. And the good news is that using the Enneagram, we can reauthor our old self-sabotaging stories that we tell ourselves about who we are and how we think the world works. We can free ourselves from the tyranny of unconscious childhood messages that we pick up and internalize as little people. We can break free of the false beliefs that we tend to hold on to and overcome the patterns of behavior that our broken stories produce. Right.
Yeah, I will say for Penn, who's a seven, that this little snippet says the self-limiting narrative of the seven arises from their unconscious belief that painful emotions, thoughts, or situations must be avoided at all costs.
Push them way down.
Charming, intelligent, entertaining, future-focused, optimistic, and adventurous. Sevens are afraid of being trapped in negative feelings from which they can't escape. When I read that, I was like, though. That is who my husband continues to be. He does not. Here's the thing, Ian.
I don't cry enough for Kim.
No. But let's just, I mean, people who listen to this podcast know both of Penn's parents have Alzheimer's. They both live in assisted living. We go to visit them and his mother's nonverbal. There's a connection there, but there's not, I mean, there's nothing that it's hard. It is. I leave every time.
Devastated
mess.
Yeah.
Because these beautiful, impactful, gorgeous humans, and then like the shell of who they are. And Penn's like, that was great. My dad recognized me today. And then he's like, what are we getting for lunch? He does not feel a need to rewrite this story. So why do you think that everybody should be owning that part and rewriting? Because this kid, he is loving this Teflon pan of of the soul.
Teflon pan of the soul. That's your next book.
Yeah. I mean, right there, Ian, take it, run with it.
All right. So first of all, I love sevens, but I want sevens to, like, as with all types, to grow up. And really that will include kind of giving up what I sometimes call toxic positivity.
Oh.
And
oh,
go on. I have never heard of positivity as toxic, and I cannot wait to hear the rest of this.
Well, positivity becomes toxic when it glazes over the hard facts of reality and when it attempts to bypass the feelings that come with the hard reality of life. And for you, that might include grief, some sadness around the loss of your parents. And grief is a very difficult emotion. Perhaps I think the most difficult human emotion, because it makes us feel so powerless. Mm-hmm. Part of the journey for sevens is realizing, because as kids, I think sevens pick up the message that if I end up having these painful feelings and get that I'm going to get stuck and I'm never going to be able to get out of them because there's just not going to be someone there to support me. Right. And so I'm going to retreat. I'm going to create Neverland, and I'm going to retreat into my imagination and sort of live very future oriented, not think about the past, not stay in the present moment where mom and dad are.
Yeah.
Right. And sort of now, why is that important? Well, Penn, how do people become deep human beings?
Are you asking rhetorically or okay?
Yeah. I mean, suffering.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's not going to negate how beautiful your joy is. I never want you to lose that, but I want it to come into balance so that you can allow difficulties to make you a more well-rounded person and have access to the full range of emotions, not just the happy ones, but all of your emotions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So two responses. First of all, that was beautifully put, and thank you. See, I'm being positive about this. One of my favorite TV shows of all time is Parks and Recreation. And there's a character on that show. He's giving a thumbs up, guys. So Ian's seen this. So Chris Traeger is like, he's type 7, right? The guy who Rob Lowe plays. And he is constantly upbeat, but very obviously hidden underneath that are layers of despair and oppression, depression that he pushes down with like nutrition, therapy, and like ridiculous amounts of exercise. But he's always incredibly upbeat to other people. And it catches up with him in certain occasions and he just crashes. So that does happen to me. I want to be perfectly open. It doesn't happen as often as it happens to you, but it does happen. And I call them man periods, and they happen like 6 or 7 times a year, and the world just looks shitty. Sorry, you guys are going to have to bleep that out, but I don't know a better way to describe it. All right? So that does happen to me. Here's the thing. With my parents, I went through what basically were 3 separate interventions, which had to do with not necessarily alcohol, but like with the inability to face the facts that you cannot care for yourself. With my parents, that was about 2 or 3 years of my life.
And not necessarily, can we just be completely honest here?
Yeah.
Some of it was alcohol.
Oh, it wasn't necessarily not about it either. It was the combination of dementia and substance abuse. It sucked. And so I had to do that. And kind of me and my brother had to kind of take the lead when it came to that. For both of my parents, we got them to a safe place. And the reward that we get is to watch them die as slowly as possible. As slowly and painfully as possible. Where every time you go to see them, they're a little worse than they were before. Okay, I'm saying all this out loud because I know that it's happening, but I can't go and see them and feel like every time I go and see them that they're dying a little more. It is an impossible trap for a type 4 to live in. So I, much like Chris Traeger,
you're 7.
Four?
Yeah.
Sorry. I have no choice but to take some positivity out of these visits with them, but know that I am grieving inside. Is it okay for me just to do that inside and not tell you guys about it? I mean, I guess I just did.
Well, I want to sort of challenge some of your language here. I have no choice. I can't. I just don't believe that.
Okay.
I think you do have a choice. And I think that, again, I don't think we have to get trapped in, you know, despair. I think that what we can do is bring our whole self to the experience. And that means to feel the feelings. This is very important for the 7. Like, let me give you an example of this. I'm a 4, right? I'm the individualist. And I am exquisitely in tune with my own feelings. Exquisitely. One of the gifts of the 4 is empathy and compassion. I am very comfortable being in a situation. My mom's in assisted living. She has dementia. I am very comfortable sitting with my feelings in that space and then also letting them come through and move on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly and what you're saying. Because I don't ever stay long enough. Like, this is like really hitting the nail on the head, but go ahead.
Right. And so just to sit with it and allow the discomfort, the sadness, the grief to have its way with you until it's done. Because 7s don't believe it's ever going to go away if they actually go there.
So help me with this, man. It's just like if you got a parent in assisted living, it is the longest goodbye anybody can ever imagine. Mm-hmm. It really does challenge a lot of what you're saying about sitting in the feelings, because I know I'm telling you I don't have a choice and that it's impossible, but how do you do it? How do you do it in that specific case when the person who created you is like just deteriorating, eroding, you know, like dunes at a beach every time you go out there?
Well, first, Ben, let me just back up and say I'm really sorry that that's the situation that you find yourself in. And I think I have some inkling of an idea of what that might be like for you. But then I would also say it's very important for 7s to stay in the present moment and not get out over their skis. You know, the moment they walk out of the assisted living place, to just default to this kind of level of positivity that is sort of beyond the pale, right? And so just learning to stay with the feeling until, you know, I have a son who's a seven, and I always sort of say to him, it's, you know, raising you is a little bit having a puppy on a leash. You know, it's like I'm always kind of going, stay, heal. You know what I mean? Because it's like all over the place, right? And let's just face it, this is a very painful season of life. And part of the journey is going to be not knowing how to navigate it. And then being okay with the feeling of out of controlness. Just this sense of like, I don't know how to do this. This is really hard. And I don't have answers. And this may be hard for years before it reaches its conclusion. And perhaps, I don't know what your spiritual ground is in your own life, but spirituality, I mean, for me, let's just talk about, you know, let's say in the 12-step sense of just believing that there is some higher intelligence that's personal and loving in the universe that will be there and support you, that Kim will be there to love you and support you as you go on this journey. And as they hold you and support you, create a container for you to be in which you're safe to have those feelings until such time as this particular part of your life's journey is over.
What really hit me there, and I'm going to tell you this just so it helps with whatever, you know, with your relationship with your son. I think the most important thing you just said there was let yourself admit that you don't know what you're doing. I didn't really think about that openly because I like to push my feelings deep down, deep down. And there is something about like how to, you know, when you have to keep reinventing the relationship with your family and your parents, if you can just admit that you don't know what you're doing, maybe, I mean, I don't know if I need it to wash over me every time I go there, but, I probably should sit longer. I mean, a lot of times I find myself when I'm over there saying, oh man, like they're not really feeling me right now. I'm just going to go. And maybe I should just stay longer.
And I get that. Sometimes I get my mom on the phone and we talk for about 3 minutes and it's okay. And then literally she starts singing Hello Dolly. And that's that awesome. Can go for 15 minutes. Okay. Now it's a little funny, but it's also like, I can't stay here for, you know, she's not here. I'm here, I feel conflicted and it's difficult. But you know what's helped me, and this would help any Enneagram 7, and this is part of maybe what you would look like in the new story of the 7, right? Which is, it's going to be hard to say to yourself, I'm powerless.
I don't like being powerless.
I know. I'm powerless. I have no control over this situation. No, you don't.
I know. You're right. You're right. You're right.
And
go ahead.
And this is important. So I'm powerless. I have no control over this situation. And I surrender. I just simply surrender and give my parents over to this perhaps loving, I don't care if you call it God, spirit, universe. It doesn't matter to me, right? It's just, I give them over to the love which is in our universe, and I will be with them until such time as they return to that great love.
You just kind of used a little bit of language from another program that it seems like you're familiar with. Admitting that you're powerless. What? Turning to a higher power.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's my 12-step program.
Yeah.
It works.
It works with parents with Alzheimer's. Okay. All right. I have been very selfish on this. And look, I heard you. I'm not trying to change the subject.
I think you've helped a lot of people, Penn. I think in sharing your story, and Ian has helped guide you through that. So for that, you can just invoice us for whatever your therapy rates are, Ian. We'll take that. But I think that for any Enneagram, I think we could all benefit from sitting and feeling a little bit. And just, I love the analogy of the puppy of sit and stay, because even as an improver, which is what I'm improving the perfectionist labels to be, my instinct is to just fix. So when we go visit his parents, I'm like, what can I fix? Does your mom need new shoes? Does she need new clothes? Like, I just want to fix. Like, it'll fix it if I bring, you know, his favorite cookies, or it'll fix it. And there's no fixing. There's just sitting and feeling. Mm. So I think that's helpful for any of us to hear.
Right. You know, I mean, I think a perfectionist, as I imagine it, would walk into the room, would start to think, okay, Why haven't the orderlies changed these sheets?
Oh my gosh, why is the picture frame there? Like, because we have pictures, I'm like, why are they stacked like that? Mm-hmm. They need to be, he's going to hit that. He need to be over there. Like, I'm immediately, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we all try to avoid pain, every single type. Do you want to run through the types for people who don't know?
Absolutely. Thank you. And this is, and before we do this, I want to thank you again for making that all about me for 15 minutes. And scene for now. Okay. So I normally have a bit of a tough Teflon exterior when it comes to these sorts of things, but being able to get to some feelings that I needed to have, which are, man, I need to lean in at some point to how bad this sucks with my parents. The way that he presented that solution to me is going to change my life for the next several years, I believe.
You're only going to hang on to it for several years?
I'm hoping, you know what I mean? I'm hoping that my parents make it several years. Dementia, it is a long goodbye. It sometimes escalates very quickly. I want to get the most, you know, let me put it this way. I want to get the most out of my time left with them. And I don't know if I've been doing that. And part of it was because I was just scared to kind of sit in the suck. And he's so good at sitting in the suck.
Yeah.
It's his type. I'm not.
Yeah. Just being up the whole, like an out, like the sit, stay, that was helpful even for me, even though I'm a feeling person. I feel all the things.
Is it a coincidence that you call me your golden retriever and he was telling me to sit and stay?
Exactly. But next week, you know, we're going to discuss all the Enneagram types. We're going to kind of go through the rest of them. And it's tough. This I start feeling some stuff, which is why, honestly, we decided to break it up into two episodes because it was just, I think it would have just been a lot for you guys to hear all this stuff.
So you can look forward to more of this for next week.
But here's my thing with this whole podcast, right? Here's my thing. I'm so curious to find out how to do life better.
Yeah.
And I think we're on this like adulting experience. There's no manual. Our parents did the very best. And we have amazing parents who did the best they could, but nothing really prepares you. So I feel like if we find language that helps us navigate this really messy existence, mm-hmm. we need to share it. And I think we learned so much. And I'm excited for you guys to check out Ian's book, which you can check out. All the links will be in everywhere. And to listen to next week.
We will see you then. And until then, sit, stay.
And yeah.
We'll be back.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.